Hello, everyone. This is Clay Jenkinson, normally Thomas Jefferson. Today, I'm not dressed as an 18th century country gentleman and revolutionary. I'm actually in my traveling clothes. We're taking a little hiatus in the Jefferson Hour. I hope you'll bear with us. David Swenson, the host of the Jefferson Hour, is also a videographer and editor. We're working together on a documentary film about former North Dakota Governor Bill Guy. We're just about finished. I hope you're going to want to see the film when it's done. It premieres in Fargo, North Dakota, at the Fargo Theater on June 15, 2010, and then in Bismarck at the Belle Mayhew on June 22, 2010. So we're scrambling to finish this extraordinary documentary film. Bill Guy is regarded widely as the governor who brought North Dakota into the modern era. Most historians think of him as the best governor of North Dakota in the post-war period. We're very excited about this project, and what we need now is just a little cover video, what's called B-roll, for one key section of the film. So I'm going tomorrow into the heartland of North Dakota with a video camera. Believe me, I'm not very good at this sort of thing, but I'm going to do my best. And I'm to come back on Monday with two pieces of footage. One of the water infrastructure of North Dakota. Bill Guy is a water man. He's always believed that if we distribute the waters of the Missouri River evenly around North Dakota, it will lead to the prosperity of the entire state. And for 40 years, he's been advocating transferring water from the Missouri over to the Red River so that that most populated part of North Dakota will have a long-term stable water supply. It's controversial. It may never happen, but it's a key part of his infrastructural vision for North Dakota's prosperity. So one of the things I'll try to get this week is footage of pipelines and something called the McCluskey Canal, which is a fossil of the old Garrison Diversion Water Project that was part of his administration during the 1960s. So I'll spend some time doing that. And the area where that footage can be taken is about 50 to 70 miles northeast of Bismarck, between McCluskey and Harvey, North Dakota. So that'll be one of the goals of this weekend. The second goal is a more interesting one, at least to me personally. In 1970, that's 40 years ago this weekend, on May 16th, there was a protest march against the ABM missile site in extreme northeastern North Dakota. The ABM system was designed to shoot down incoming Russian ICBM missiles. Two such sites were built. One completed, the one that was completed was here in North Dakota. The one uncompleted was in Montana. The site here is at a village called Nakoma, and I actually have a little history of this. I was a 16-year-old boy, and I went up to Langdon, North Dakota, for an entire summer to work at a trailer park that had been thrown up by one of my father's friends to house the many workers who came in to build that missile silo system. And so I was nearby during this very interesting moment in the history of the Cold War, a moment that had a Great Plains and even a North Dakota focus. So I'm going there, and on Sunday morning at dawn, which should be about 5:50 a.m. Central Daylight Time, I'm hoping to get footage, film footage, of the sun rising up over the concrete pyramid that is sort of the fossil of that ABM system at Nakoma. We were trying to get clearance from the Defense Department to go inside the perimeter of the Nakoma site. That may not happen, but I should still be able to get footage on the exact 40th anniversary of that peace march at Nakoma. What makes that peace march so interesting is that 1,500 people gathered from around North Dakota and nearby states to protest the proliferation of nuclear weapons in the United States, the widening of the war in Vietnam to include Cambodia, and the Kent State killings that had occurred on May 4th, 1970. And so the context of this moment is that it comes in the shadow of Kent State. Kent State is the moment when the Vietnam War came home to the American heartland. Four students were killed in a 67-bullet burst over 13 seconds on the campus of Kent State University, killed by the Ohio National Guard in one of the most horrific moments of the 1960s and 70s. 2 weeks later, here in North Dakota, another Kent State might have occurred. It didn't, thanks in some part to the leadership of North Dakota Governor Bill Guy. He did not provoke the students. He did not demonize them, as the governor of Ohio had done, by calling them un-American and brown shirts and night riders and vigilantes. He did not deny them their First Amendment rights to petition to appear in public at a public protest. Freedom of assembly, of course, is one of Mr. Jefferson's great promises of liberty for the American people. And so Bill Guy said to the students, you have a right to protest. Please don't destroy any property. Behave like adults, and I will champion your right to protest the ABM site, which he also informed them he did not favor. He regarded it as a colossal waste of money, an increasing of tensions during the Cold War, and a facility that should never have been sited on North Dakota soil without some sort of cooperative agreement with the people and the governor of North Dakota. So this is a scene in the film, his masterful handling of the Nakoma March on May 16, 1970, contrasting it with the debacle that occurred at Kent State just 2 weeks earlier. So if, with any luck, the sun will be shining on Sunday morning at dawn, with any luck, I'll wake up that morning in time to get out to the Nakoma site. I'll be staying in Langdon, which is about 18 miles away, the same place that I lived during that summer of my early adolescence. And I will go out and try to capture the scene on the exact 40th anniversary of that extraordinary event in the history of the Cold War and the Great Plains. If I get the footage, I'll bring it back, and on Monday we will quickly process it and see what we can do by way of putting pieces of it into the final product. The film needs to be locked in the next 10 days sometime, and it's going to be a pretty considerable scramble to get that done. But I'm sure that if this footage is useful, it will help the film. It will deepen the film in certain ways, and it will also, in a more important way, give me a deeper sense of ownership in the film. I mean, to be at that place 40 years to the day after the march will be a very moving and extraordinary experience. And in fact, I'm going to stop on my way out of town tomorrow and buy a tree. The protesters planted a few trees at the site on May 16, 1970. I'm going to buy a tree, and I'm going to take a little shovel, and I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to attempt to plant it. I'm sure that I'll be arrested or killed, and I'll become the Nakoma massacre of 2010, or at least the nitwit who tried to plant a tree 40 years after the fact. But I think as a symbolic gesture, that would be extraordinary. So that's why there isn't a new version of the Thomas Jefferson Hour this week. David Swenson and I have left the barn for the moment. We're actually in the studios at Mokoche Recording Studios in downtown Bismarck, and we're working like demons to finish this film on time. You have no idea how consuming a task this is, and David, believe me, does most of it, but just the number of decisions that go into the creation of even 10 minutes of a documentary film, the number of layers of music and of B-roll and still photographs and historic footage and a voiceover, you can't believe how many discrete keystroke decisions have to be made for every second, every minute of a completed documentary film. It's sort of breathtaking to watch. I'm learning a good deal about it, and it humbles me greatly to see the mastery of my friend David Swenson. You think of him as the genial host of the Jefferson Hour. That's just the tip of the iceberg of his many, many talents. So we apologize. We don't have a fresh program for you today, but I believe we will come back stronger when we complete this film, and we will be ready to get back in the revolutionary saddle to reopen the barn. It's springtime in North Dakota. In fact, last evening, after a month of the drizzliest, grayest, chilliest spring weather that I can ever remember, the sun burst through the clouds, and today is one of those great days that you live for on the northern Great Plains. So this has the feel of a kind of a Woodstock-like road trip for me, too. I'm going to buy red licorice. I'm not going to break my habit to drink no Diet Coke, but I am going to take bottles of water. I'm going to take every camera that I can find, a few books to read here and there, and a video camera. And I'm going to head out into the heartland of North Dakota. We'll post some pieces of this on a website, including with a link to the Jefferson Hour website, so you can see your undistinguished 18th century revolutionary being arrested by the National Guard on the 40th anniversary of the Nakoma missile protest march in North Dakota. And now, before that, I have to leave. I'm sorry I can't talk further, but in just 28 minutes, my dear, dear, dear friend, my 84-year-old friend Shyla Schaefer, the Queen Mum of North Dakota, is graduating from Bismarck State College with her associate's degree. I don't know if she's the oldest graduate in the year 2010, but she's certainly the most interesting one that I've ever met, and so I'm going off to be a part of that. That's probably her calling now, asking me why I'm not yet there. So I'll sign off at this point with apologies for our two-week delay on new programs, but stay tuned. We'll see you next week for another exciting edition of the Thomas Jefferson Hour. Wish me luck.